Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is David K. Johnston, a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter, formerly with The New York Times. He teaches at the Syracuse University College of Law and writes columns for tax analysts and Reuters, and has uncovered so many tax dodges that he's been called the de facto chief tax enforcement officer of the United States. He is the author of the best-selling books Perfectly Legal, Free Lunch, and his most recent is The Fine Print, How Big Companies Use Plain English to Rob You Blind. He has an article at Reuters, Taxed by the Boss. Welcome to Background Briefing, David K. Johnston.
Thank you, Ian.
And welcome, and happy tax day, David, even though, of course, the IRS have given, because tax day is falling today on a Sunday, they've given a couple of extra days, so the taxes aren't due until Tuesday.
But right. In Massachusetts, it's a holiday, so on Monday, so you have till Tuesday.
So, your article in Reuters, Taxed by the Boss, is just breathtaking. It really does. I thought we were an advanced democracy here in the United States. I didn't realize that feudalism existed in America. But when I read your article, that it reveals that 2,700 of the biggest corporations like GE, GM, Goldman Sachs, Procter & Gamble are collecting state income taxes from hundreds of thousands of workers and pocketing them with the state's approval. People aren't getting tax refunds. They're getting their tax monies instead of it going to the state government, it's going to their employers.
A number of people have posted at my column, as well as other websites, that they find it hard to believe you can do this, but it is going on in 16 states, and my prediction is it will spread to more states unless people stand up and stop, and demand that it stop. And it's part of the reason that state governments, which are the most crucial to our lives because they finance the things that matter in people's lives every day, education, public health, a lot of law enforcement, state governments are all in terrible straits. And part of the reason is the biggest corporations have been exempted from a lot of the corporate income tax. So most of the corporate income tax at the state level comes from entrepreneurial, family-owned businesses, not from the big national, multinational corporations. Then they give these big companies property tax breaks. Oh, build a factory, an office building, and we won't charge any property taxes for a long time. They give them sales tax breaks. Oh, well, we're not going to charge you sales tax if you put up a new building and put all the furniture in it. And they've run out of ways to feed them money, so they've said, well, tell you what, why don't you take all the state income taxes deducted from your workers' paychecks, and we'll give you a tax credit equal to that. In essence, we'll let you pocket the state income taxes paid by your workers. And so far, it looks to be about $5.5 billion has been siphoned off this way.
So this is this model, I guess, sounds to me similar to what happens with cities who try and invite NFL teams in and offer all kind of concessions. And we all know that the owners of these NFL teams are all billionaires by and large, and they don't need the money. And most of these cities end up, losing money wholesale. Is that the same mentality that's writ at the state level?
Yes. And one of the things, Ian, I've been trying for years and years to get people to understand is that, well, you will hear all this rhetoric about, oh, poor people, and how they're getting these people who don't work and whatnot. The reality is that we have a massive socialist redistribution scheme upward in what I call corporate socialism. We take from the many to give to the already rich few. Now, everybody who's rich doesn't get these deals. These deals go to big corporations with clout. And what's particularly fascinating about this particular deal, I wrote about this last July when I found out it was going on in Illinois, and a group called Good Jobs First, which specializes in identifying corporate subsidies. And they're not against subsidies per se, but they're against secrecy and stupidity and waste and abuse in them. They worked on this project for a long time to come up with all of these records and the numbers that they have, 2,700 companies, $5.5 billion so far, are actually lowball because many of the states who have various programs hide things or they make minimal disclosures because they say, well, it's proprietary information. It doesn't matter that your tax dollars. It's the secret of the company. We have to maintain that first and foremost. And this kind of programming is just emblematic of this entire movement in America to subsidize these giant corporations. And the biggest beneficiaries of this are foreign corporations. Nissan is the single biggest beneficiary. They don't even have in their study some other companies, I believe, have very, very similar deals, but they're not technically done the way this one is, including a big German steelmaker. Every one of the big Canadian, Japanese, and European banks with U.S. operations has deals like this, and they're in the database of companies that are doing this. So people are having their schools for their children or their grandchildren shortchanged to benefit the owners of banks in Japan and Luxembourg. I mean, this is crazy.
Right, the libraries are closing. They've hoisted this canard, the Republicans have, that state workers are overpaid and overpensioned, etc. And meanwhile, the real socialism is going to these huge corporations. But in your article at Reuters, Taxed by the Boss, David K. Johnston, you refer to this as job blackmail.
Yes. Well, there are two things. There's job blackmail and there's job piracy. Job blackmail is when a company says, we're going to close our plant and move unless you give us money. In Illinois, they've passed a law that says in order to qualify to keep your workers' state income taxes, you have to threaten to leave the state. So Motorola, which Google is in the process of buying, said, we're going to leave. Well, now think about that. They have all these highly paid technical workers whose average income is over $100,000 a year. They're going to uproot them all, have them leave Chicago with all of its cultural facilities and go to Iowa. I don't think the workers will follow them. Navistar, oh, we're going to move to Alabama. I don't think that's going to happen. Ford said, we're going to shut down our factory and we'll move it across the state line over to Indiana. And so they gave them these deals. That's job blackmail. Give us money or we'll move our jobs. GE got this deal in Ohio, and for investing $126 million, they get $115 million back. So their shareholders are bearing 8% of the cost of fixing up their old factory, and taxpayers are bearing 92% of the cost. No wonder GE is a profitable company. The other practice is called job piracy. And that's where you just steal jobs from the state. So your state will have more jobs, but America has no more jobs. And the AMC theater chain, you know, those big multiplexes that AMC has, they are moving their corporate headquarters from downtown Kansas City, Missouri, across the Missouri River to Leawood, a suburb in the state of Kansas. They're getting $47 million for doing this. Doesn't create a single job.
Well, it's worth noting, as you do in your article, David K. Johnston, that AMC Entertainment is owned by these Wall Street firms, J.P. Morgan, Apollo Management, and here we go, Bain Capital,
and
Mitt Romney's company, and the Carlyle Group. We could spend an hour talking about the Carlyle Group.
And Apollo Management, people should know, that's run by Leon Black. And who is Leon Black? He was Michael Milken's right hand guy. I mean, he was right in there with him during the whole junk bond era.
Right, as is Peter Ackerman, who's running Americans Elect. I'm actually going to be talking with their representatives. They're running candidates in this election. So, let's talk a little bit then. David K. Johnston, a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter, formerly with the New York Times. His latest book is Plain English. How Governments Use Plain English to Rob You Blind. And he has an article at Reuters, Taxed by the Boss. Here we have the Republican nominee from Bain Capital, Mitt Romney, just said that he's going to get an extension on his taxes. He was forced to reveal that he pays less than 15% in taxes. President Obama, on the other hand, said that he's he pays over 20%, but he still pays less than his secretary, and he's pushing the Buffett rule that's not going to really make much difference in terms of tax revenues coming into the Treasury, but it's a good political weapon that he has.
Oh, Ian, actually, Ian, it really is a lot of money.
It is?
Oh. Yeah, I mean, it's not enough to close the massive budget shortfalls we have, but we're talking about, you know, billions and billions of dollars. And you know, the reason, part of the core problem we have in America is that we've listened to this talk about tax cut, tax cut, tax cut, and we're starving the public sector. And the problem is that all private wealth creation depends on public spending. It depends on education. It depends on civil justice. It depends on roads and water mains and other things. And we're destroying all of that. And in the short run, it's making a small group of people wealthier. But in the long run, it's impoverishing the entire country.
Well, that is the debate I wish we had. I mean, I'm astounded at the economic illiteracy and the gullibility of so many Americans, particularly working Americans who vote Republican and will vote for people like Paul Ryan. In his proposals are going to take away their Social Security and their Medicare in order to give further tax breaks to the rich, which are extraordinary. And people fall for this argument right across the political spectrum that we're taxed too much. We're about the lowest taxed country in the world. The real argument should be, what do we get back in terms of government services? Let's focus on that and then demand some value, because the way the system's been rigged now is that the federal treasury has become a piggy bank for the 1% and the powerful corporations.
Yes. Well, there are reasons for this, though. My brother, Ian, who is disabled now and lives in Oregon, spent most of his life as a manual laborer. I mean, he was the kind of guy who was out digging ditches and clearing culverts after a rainstorm so people could get to work instead of having the roads flooded out. And he observed to me one day, you know, if I cared about guns, if I hated gays, or if I believed in God, then I would vote for the Republicans. I don't any of those things, but the question I have to ask is, what have the Democrats done for me? They strike me as just being soft Republicans. And I think that's an interesting insight from somebody who's not at all sophisticated. What have the Democrats done for ordinary Americans? The Republicans, at least, have appealed to those people who are homophobic, who are Second Amendment purists, and have other similar views, and they're appealing to them. That's why they're getting a lot of people to vote for them. It's not economic interest. They've gotten people off economic interest.
So why then are the Democrats afraid to defend government and to make a case for better government, for more responsive government? And I thought Americans were very practical people, bottom line people. They're getting hosed. They get so little back in terms for their taxes. A lot of it goes to agribusiness, to the military-industrial complex. The only programs that they get anything back from, Social Security, which is a separate fund, and Medicare, they're being cut out from under them. I mean, it's amazing. You take away a little bit of the social safety net in some of these European countries, and people take to the streets immediately.
Right. But remember that in America, we don't teach critical thinking skills. We don't have you question what's going on in the schools. You can have a better debate about economic and political and cultural matters with the average waiter you will meet in the countryside of Canada or France than the average MBA in the United States. And the Republicans have poured a fortune into ideological marketing. Ralph Nader came along in the 60s. He scared the hell out of corporate America, but some smart people in public relations and advertising looked at what Nader did and said, oh, we can do that. And then we got the Heritage Foundation. We got Cato, heavily funded by the Koch brothers, and in fact, actually turns out a nonprofit partly owned by them, and 10 other big, what I call ideological marketing organizations. They have spent years turning out slogans, advertising slogans, to get people to think the way they want. And remember that half of all Americans were 7 years old or younger when Ronald Reagan became president. So all that about two-thirds of Americans have ever known, that is everybody who was under the age of 20 when Reagan took office, is Reaganism. They have no idea how much better off people were back then. In my column in Reuters recently, I revealed that the average income of the bottom 90% of Americans has now fallen back to the level of 1966. Not 1996, 1966, when Lyndon Johnson was president, China was called red, and cars didn't have air conditioning.
Well, David, I thank you so much for joining us here today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with David K. Johnston, a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter, formerly with The New York Times. He's the author of The Fine Print, How Big Companies Use Plain English to Rob You Blind. He has an article at Reuters, Taxed by the Boss. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another background briefing. Bye for now. Standing along the side of the pickup.